The views expressed in the following podcast are not necessarily the views of the United States Air Force or the Air Force Reserve, but rather the perspectives of the individual speakers. No endorsement of any particular person, business, or interest is ever intended.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to Ready, Set, Airlift. I'm your host, Julian Hernandez from the 433rd Airlift Wing Public Affairs Office. This month, we are highlighting one of the amazing resources here at the Alamo Wing, the dedicated key support liaisons who are available in every squadron, ready to help you tackle the inevitable issues that come with military life. We have a special group of guests who are providing their firsthand knowledge in hopes of spreading the word about how helpful the Wing's KSLs can be. All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us on this 20th episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. I'm going to start with, of course, the easiest questions of the day. If we could just do some introductions going around the table. Sarah, why don't you start us off?
Sure, thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sarah Templeton. I'm currently the KSL mentor. Before that, I was the KSL for the wing staff. I've been in the key support liaison or the key spouse role off and on for the last 20 years in different capacities. I was a key spouse when my husband was active duty in the Marine Corps, when he was a TR in the Air Force, and he's currently AGR. I am married to Master Sergeant Templeton. He's the Resiliency Integrator First Shirt for the 433rd. We've been married almost 22 years. We have two children, and we live here in San Antonio. And I am a nurse with the New Parent Support Program here at Lackland Air Force Base.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Molly?
Hi, yes, I'm Molly Jeffrey. I don't know if y'all have heard of this role, but I'm the commander of the wing commander.
I'm glad somebody's in charge.
It's a great role. No, Doug and I got here back in July to the San Antonio area in the 433rd, and we brought our four children with us, and we're loving every bit of the area.
Outstanding. I hope you're settling in and that this odd San Antonio winter hasn't been weird for y'all.
No, it's been great.
Yeah. Tabitha?
Yeah, so I am Tabitha Tate Thorland. My husband is in 433rd AES. He was previously a master sergeant, but recently commissioned and is now a second lieutenant.
That is correct. You passed the quiz.
I have been the KSL for the AES for about a year and a half now and really enjoyed getting to learn from Sarah and now Molly in this position. So it's been wonderful. We live in San Antonio. We've been here for about 6 years and have really enjoyed living in the area.
Outstanding. And some congratulations are in order since you were recently recognized as the annual award winner for the KSLs here at the Wing, right?
Ah, yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So quite the crew we have assembled, the KSLs dream team right here to tell us this morning. So let's start, you know, we've been saying KSL a lot, right? But it's the key support liaisons, right? Is the correct outline. And then the base program is the commander's key support program. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about, for those who may not be familiar, what that means, what's the purpose of the program?
Absolutely. And I'd like to give a very real answer if I can. The goal of the KSL program is to provide support, resources, and referrals to our Air Force families, helping them to feel empowered, connected, and resilient. What that looks like when our members are deployed is the KSLs posting base and community events on our Facebook page, KSLs sending emails and text messages reaching out to families to let them know when there are wing and JBSA or community events that would benefit them. It's KSLs checking in when we hear that there's a pregnancy, a new baby, hospitalization, or a death in the family. It's us answering family members' questions about TRICARE, childcare during UTAs, how to locate the DEERS office. It's us referring families to Military OneSource, the Military and Family Readiness Center, mental health resources. It's us listening to a new military spouse cry and vent because this is not the life they signed up for. It's us helping family members understand the acronyms and the lingo, and overall just helping them to feel connected and supported. That's what we're here for. What this looks like when our members are deployed is the KSLs being in touch before, during, and after deployments. We do all the things I mentioned before, but this is when it's most important for us to be available to our families. We do monthly check-ins, and we refer families to the proper channels when things come up. If they have questions about pay, legal concerns, health insurance, dental insurance, and so on. In addition to the work that we do with families, the KSLs also work closely with the SHRTs and the squadron leadership to bridge the gap between family members and the leadership team. It's important that loved ones know who their leadership team is and that they do have access to them. I like to say that military members have the first sergeant or the SHRT for their information, resources, and support. The family members and loved ones have us, the key support liaisons.
So a lot of responsibilities that fall, important responsibilities that fall under the KSL program. I'm curious, have you had a lot of experience with family members really utilizing the program and reaching out and asking those questions, having those interactions that you were talking about?
So I think a lot of us are going to talk about people understanding the value of the program. And once people understand the value of the program, then they will start to engage more, right?
Right.
Yeah, and the thing that I have found is being present in the unit, just walking around has been the most successful for me. Not necessarily everyone knows that I'm the KSL, but just walking around and, hey, how's your mom and them? Like, what's going on has been the way that I have been able to get the most involvement and information from people. Because before I became a KSL, I wasn't active and involved with the program at all, which is why I became a KSL. So,
awesome. Well, that is an excellent segue to the next question, which is, why did you become a KSL? And we'll get everyone's take, but you just kind of naturally float into it. So,
yeah, and I know it's something that we're going to talk about a little bit more, but the reason I became a KSL was my husband, he had deployed twice, and I want to say about 2 years. My best friend's husband deployed 3 times, and it was like back to back to back. And that's one of the things that we were seeing in AES was there were these repetitive deployments, people whose spouses were coming home. They were home for like very short amount of time. And so all of us as spouses were back here really frustrated because we had really become disconnected. And we were like, we don't understand what's happening. Why is X, Y, and Z going on? And so me being the person that I am, I found myself constantly being frustrated and feeling like I didn't have the information. My husband was busy. He was trying to get the mission done. And filling me in on the details that I was allowed to know wasn't necessarily his priority. And then I was having challenges at home when he was deployed. Like, my car broke down, our garage door broke, our bathroom tub broke. Like, I think everything that could have gone wrong at home went wrong. And we don't have family here. So I felt like I was all alone trying to figure things out. And then Lieutenant Colonel Valadez, who she's actually relocated since she was here in the 433rd, but she was like, why aren't you using the resources available? And I was like, what resources are you talking about? And come to find out, my husband didn't even know that there were resources available. And that's what encouraged me. I am not someone who's going to sit back and just wait. I was like, okay, if you're telling me there are resources available, I'm going to figure it out. And so I went to the unit and found out that there wasn't a KSL. And I started asking questions and realizing that people that had been in the unit for years had no idea there were resources. And so I just decided, okay, there's not a KSL. There are resources that clearly all of us that are stateside during these deployments could be benefiting from. So I'm going to get involved to make sure that everyone can benefit from the resources that are available and we can be more informed so that the burden can be less burdensome while our significant others and spouses and family members are off doing the mission. Because if we have the resources here, they can then be less distracted while they're trying to get things done that they need to get done on deployment. So that's how I became a KSL, was a little bit out of need and then a little bit out of frustration, honestly. And it's been great since I've become a KSL to uncover the plethora of resources that there really are available to us.
Well, we're definitely going to key in on your experiences as we go throughout this conversation, but we have a Ready, Set, Airlift first here. We're going to have a cameo appearance. A rather important person has entered the room right now, but I'll let him introduce himself because he'll probably do it more effectively than I can.
Hey, I'm Doug Jeffrey. How are y'all doing today?
Who's that guy?
Remember, I'm his commander.
I heard my boss was here, so I decided to make sure everything was good. So I wanted to come in and say hi.
What mildly interests my boss fascinates me.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So how are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Everybody good?
Yeah. I was about to talk about you a little bit.
Well, that's perfect. That's why I was here, just to make sure that I don't get in trouble.
He felt summoned.
I did.
He did.
I did. When she starts speaking, I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. Something's going on here. So
your timing is impeccable, sir, because we're talking about, you know, why they became KSLs, the importance of the program, what it means. And I mean, the first word in the program's name is commander. So what fortuitous luck for us that you're here to explain a little bit about.
That's awesome.
The Commander's Key Support Program.
For sure. I am very excited about the program. Like these ladies right here have done phenomenal with the program going forward and making it what it is today, where, you know, we didn't have, we had some within the wing, but now I think almost all the squadrons are filled with KSLs. And that is a testament to these ladies that have come together. And, you know, the folks here, it's just cool. And I appreciate it because it's about information, it's about family, and it's about culture. And those are the things that I'm excited about, is taking care of our airmen, because that's why we have it. It's taking care of our airmen. And so there's a lot of things that we could say, but I'll let them talk. I just wanted to come and
say. And it's a testament to you, him making it a priority. And I'll talk about that more later, but I think that's a huge part.
No, that's a great acknowledgement. I mean, any commander's program is only as good as the commander makes it so, right? So public affairs is a commander's program. And, you know, at the end of the day, we operate within the commander's guidance, commander's intent. So
I just got a high five from Sarah. So that's I'm excited about that. That was the clapping sound. Oh, do we need to do it louder?
There you go.
There we go.
Sarah's loud awesome. And clear. But awesome, sir. Hey, thanks for stopping by. I think that sets the right tone for the conversation as we go forward, like understanding why it is that we're discussing this and, you know, what it is we can learn today that can help airmen across the wing.
For sure.
Absolutely. Right. Colonel Jeffrey, thank you for all your support. Seriously.
y'all are the ones doing the work. I just said, hey, I want it to be important because I know that there's airmen out there, and I'm not going to steal anything, but there's airmen that need y'all.
Absolutely.
And when you're able to, like, give time, even if it's a little bit or a lot, there's airmen out there that need it. So.
Outstanding.
That's it. I'm going to be quiet and just listen, and I'll try not to interject. Actually, I won't interject. I'm just going to be quiet unless asked directly by my boss.
Well, I was going to say perfect segue from subordinate to supervisor. That's right. Molly.
Yes. No, mine's similar to Tabitha as far as how I became a KSL and why. We had just moved to Dover, Delaware. Doug was fresh out of pilot training and flying the C-5. So there I was, away from family, new military spouse, and I started meeting people. And I heard of this key spouse, and I thought, well, what makes her key? You know, what's going on here? So fast forward a few years, and we became pregnant with our first child. So I was talking with this key spouse, and she started sharing all the different resources available. And the two that stuck out to me were the labor and delivery class and a like nursing and breastfeeding class. So I thought I'll jump on those. So I did those. We both did the labor and delivery. Anyway, those were just two great resources that were very helpful for me that I didn't know about. And here I was fresh, you know, in and not really knowing what to do, you know, being pregnant for the first time. So I jumped on those and did those. And, you know, four kids later, they were very productive. And I'm so thankful I had that and that the military provided that. Fast forward, we moved to Spokane, Washington, where Doug was flying the KC-135s, and he was deployed. He was deployed, just like your husband, Tabitha. And here I was with a baby and a toddler, and guess who called me? My key spouse. So she introduced me to all the different programs, and we made the life-size cardboard cutouts. Did y'all do that?
I don't know
what you're talking about. So it was a life-size cutout of Doug. So he sat at dinner with us every night, which was the sweetest, cutest thing. Made the pillowcases, went to the events on base. And I just had this wonderful experience and feeling about this Key Spouse, which is what it was called then, the Key Spouse program. Then we moved to Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. And Doug mentioned, or someone mentioned, that there was a need for a key spouse in his unit. So I thought, you know what? This is my chance to give back. I learned so much and was benefited from the programs out there because of the key spouses in my past. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. So I jumped in and got trained and went through the whole process. I'm so thankful for that.
Outstanding. No, and it's impressive, really, you know, having been around the military for myself now going on 5+ years, I'm still learning all these things that are available to people, you know, having been on active duty now as a Department of the Air Force civilian. Like, the options that are out there in military communities are outstanding. And definitely, you know, I had a civilian professional life before I joined the military, and like none of that existed out there. So it really is a differentiator, I think, between military life and non-military life. But Sarah, tell us a little bit about how I think you alluded to it in your introduction, but, you know, expand upon why you became a KSO.
Okay, I'm totally going to date myself here. But back in 2004, I was engaged to my little Marine.
He's going to love that.
I was living in L.A. He was living in the barracks in San Diego. I had no connection with the military whatsoever. 9/11 happens. You know, he got deployed. And so I was just scared to death, because it was back in the day when there were no cell phones, there were no calls home, no FaceTime videos. I maybe got a letter once a month. There was a journalist embedded with his unit, and I had to keep looking online for articles from this journalist, just to see maybe where he was or make sure he was still alive. And the only connection I had at that point was someone would call me once a month, and she introduced herself as a key spouse. And she said, you know, normally we only call the spouses, but because you're engaged, we're calling you and we're keeping you informed as well. And so that was like my lifeline. That was the only connection I had to the military. Then he came home safely, thank goodness. And we got married. We got stationed at our first duty station together. And then his unit's getting ready to deploy. And so I got voluntold that I need to be a key spouse. And I thought, okay, cool, I could do this because I just went through a deployment. So I can help these other young families as they're going through, you know, a deployment. So we did that. And then fast forward, now he's a TR in the Air Force. And he's drilling in a different state. And I'm over here living in one state, having babies, going to nursing school, having, again, no connection with the Air Force at all. And then he gets ready for a deployment. And so my first question is, okay, who's the key spouse for your squadron? And this whole time, every base that we'd gone to, we would always live in, he would drill in different states. We'd live somewhere different. So again, I asked, where's the key spouse? He said, there is no key spouse. And I said, we're going through a deployment and there's no key spouse. Okay, luckily I've had experience in this. I know what to do. So I just signed up to be the key spouse. And I'm really glad I did, because we had a lot of things happen during that deployment. So I'm glad that there was someone in place. And then from that point on, every base we've gone to, I've always just signed up to be a key spouse.
No, it's interesting you mentioned earlier that you were voluntold to be a key spouse, but then you kind of came around to seeing how beneficial it was, and you were authentically volunteering.
Absolutely.
By, you know, what was that, your second or third like time? Like, yeah. You were like, yes, I got this, I'll do it. So that's a real interesting like coming about of it. I think all of you have identified amazing things about the KSL program as you've gone through discussing why you got involved. But I'd like to hone in on what you really think is the greatest benefit. If we could reduce it down to like that one thing that you wish people understood about it, or that you think is the best part of it, what would you identify that as?
I would like to say that it's the connection. It's the connection between the family and the commander, which is the connection to the unit, whatever that may be. So connecting those who may not have a clue of what's going on or what's available to all, like we've mentioned, all the great resources available.
So I think the greatest resource, when you look at all of the people that we're connected to that have made us connected to the military, they all have a unique community because they're the military members. And it is a very unique world, unlike anything that any civilian is dealing with. And so I think the KSL program provides that unique community to all of those that are supporting the military members. Because when you're talking to your friends in the civilian space, they try very, very hard to connect. I can't tell you how often when my husband's deployed that they'll be like, oh yeah, my husband was on a business trip for 3 days. I get it. And I'm like, yeah, it's the same.
How terrible, a 3-day business
yes.
trip.
Yes. And so that's one of the greatest resources that I think the KSL program brings, is it provides the sense of community for the support system for the military members. So they get a sense of community within each other, and then the KSL program gives that same sense of community to everyone that is supporting the members of the military.
And, you know, I think that's a perfect opportunity to bring up another thing we had identified, is that the program changed in the past year. It used to, for the longest time, as you alluded to, Molly, it used to be called the Key Spouse Program, right? But a year ago, the Department of the Air Force kind of went in a different direction and keying in on the fact that it's more than just spouses who support the member, right? And so they changed it to the Key Support Program. So I'd like to kind of use that opportunity to talk, because you mentioned that it's more than just the spouses. So let's talk about that. Did the dynamic change at your level a year ago when the program shifted to open up to more than just spouses?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I'm very excited to talk about that, especially from the mentor perspective, because the rebranding has definitely made the program more inclusive. So first, the name change definitely gave people a different mindset about the program. When it was called Key Spouses, we'd have members say, oh, I won't benefit from that program because I don't have a spouse. When all the while they did have a significant other or a, you know, a sibling, a parent, or someone who would benefit from the program. So we're trying really hard right now to advertise that the program is here to support loved ones, not just spouses. And then along with the name change came a change in who can fill the role of the KSL. It used to be that only spouses were encouraged to fill this role. But now anyone with a connection to the wing, like a spouse or a family member of a member, the member themselves or a civilian connected to the unit can still fill this role. And we at the 433rd have a very diverse KSL team now, and it's all because of the rebranding. For example, we have a KSL who is a civilian employee for her squadron. We have a KSL who is a father of an airman in the 433rd, and he himself retired out of the 433rd. We have a KSL who is a girlfriend of a member. We have a KSL who recently retired and came back to serve as a KSL in the squadron that he retired from. And then we do have several Air Force members serving as KSLs. And I think it's great having so much diversity because everyone brings different backgrounds, different perspectives, and different knowledge to the program.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, even for me, being kind of new to the idea of key spouse versus key support, it makes sense. You know, I'm not married, but, you know, the unit is an important part of what I do. And I'm not even a member. I'm a civilian, a Department of the Air Force civilian. But having that flexibility to have people beyond just the traditional spouse, it makes a ton of sense to open it up. And I think it has been a great opportunity for the program from what I can tell. But Molly, I want to ask you, I know, especially because you have a fresh perspective being relatively new to the unit, the program is well on its way, but there's always opportunities for growth, opportunities for improvement. In your time that you've been here with that fresh perspective, have you noticed something in particular that you think is a real opportunity for growth for the program?
I feel like since I am pretty new to the unit, also I'm pretty new to really being informed as a reserve spouse. That it goes back to that connection. When Doug got off of active duty and went to the reserve, we had moved back home. I had my family. We were getting involved in the community. We were 30 miles from the base he was connected to. And so I didn't really need the Air Force, the military, and all that it provided. So I really just didn't, I just disconnected. I didn't even know Doug's unit or squadron for a couple of years, honestly. So I just relied on my family and those in my community. So now, fast forward, now that I'm back involved and aware of things, I'm realizing, oh, there are some people that just truly may not need us, you know, throughout their daily lives. But looking back, I'm thinking, well, what if something would have happened? And none of my family knew anything about the military, so it at least would have been a good thing to have some kind of connection. So I feel like for growth, which is what we're trying to do, is just to get that connection. Even we're not here to hound you, but we want to be connected so that if something were to happen while your military member is deployed, or even when they're not, and there's a need for a military resource, we're here. So I feel like there's room for growth in that, just making contact. So we make an appearance at the newcomer's brief, and that's really key because we have a lot of these young airmen that are brand new to the military. They got like we were. And so it's a matter of just stepping out and making a contact with the KSL, with anybody, and who can point to them, you know, the KSL to them. So making that contact, I think, is really, really important. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I don't know how the wing commanders are treating the program, but I think that that's where it starts, is the wing commander to make it a priority. And that's going to trickle down through the whole wing and the whole unit. So I feel like making that connection, regardless how little or big that is, and then the wing commander really making that a priority.
So Molly, that was a great point about, you know, at first you didn't think you needed it, but then you realized later on it was a great resource to have. And then that connection, you know, that may be what stops folks. In your experiences as KSLs, have you run into any examples or folks that have opened up about why they were maybe disconnected from the program or didn't make that effort to connect?
Yeah, so I'm happy to share in the squadron that I'm in, or is it wing? Sorry, I'm not squadron. The best with all the different terms. But so we have the form that we get filled out that provides the point of contact for each member. And when I first started going to the unit to try and gather contact information for each member, there was initially pushback and people were concerned and they were like, no, I don't want to sign that. I don't feel comfortable. And what I found was there was a desire for some members to keep their work life very separate from their personal life. And I completely understood that. And I've shared this. Molly, I'm not sure if you were there, but I know, Sarah, I've shared with you. One of them is actually the spouse of one of my best friends. And he just was like, no, this is work. That's home. And I think that there was, for a long time, a concern about the types of things that were maybe discussed with the KSL program and what the true conversations that were made maybe being had were. And so I think the thing that became really important when we began to try to inform people of how important this program was is focus in on, look, you can sign yes or no. I want them to get the communications beyond in times of emergency. I want them to know about what's going on base. I want them to get like just the regular, hey, we're having Christmas tree pictures out on the flight line or things along those lines. Or this is just the point of contact if something emergently needs to be shared with my family member. But engagement with the KSL program is something that has to happen. It needs to be seen more as a necessity in your participation with the unit, and there be that clear understanding that this isn't a gossip program. This isn't for your family members and whoever you designate as your key support person to get together and complain about what's happening and just kind of sit and stir about their frustrations with the military. This program is designed for your key support to have a place to get the resources that they need. But I do think that there was a genuine concern that the KSL program was either a gossip group or a place that the key support of the members were going to go to just get riled up and frustrated about the things that they couldn't deal with. And so I think that what is really important as the KSLs for the unit is to make sure that you have that integrity and saying, I'm not here to participate in any of those things. And quite frankly, all of the KSLs that I have met, none of us have time for any of that. We are here to be a resource. We have been through the struggles of a deployment, and we want to make sure that when you are gone or if something does happen, that your family or your significant others, or even if it's a friend that you have designated as your key support person, has a place to go to get the resources that they need in your absence. And so that is what I think is where the challenge of getting participation came from, and I think is where you find the better connection with the unit members is making sure that they understand you're not here for anything other than being a resource to the people that are supporting them as they are supporting the mission.
Absolutely. And one of the things I really wanted to make sure gets known through this is what we are not, right? What the Key Support Liaison Program is not. We are not, as Tabitha said, a gossip group or a social club. We're not fundraisers. We're not babysitters. We're not counselors. We're all trained in professionalism, ethics, privacy. And not only do our commanders hold us to very high standards, we hold each other accountable as well. And as Tabitha said, the majority of us are working full time, and we don't have time for what people may think we do. Like, we don't sit around and gossip, and we are very professional. We keep everything private, as it should be.
I think you mentioned an important component there, too, is the involvement of the commander. So I was actually going to follow up with a question about how are those relationships at the squadron level? You know, we've had the benefit of finding out what the wing commander thinks about the program, but it ultimately is kind of down to the squadron commander as well, how they implement in their specific squadron. So, you know, do you have a sense that commanders are sending the right message to Airmen? I'm not trying to put any commander on blast per se, but
no, just put them on blast. Put them on blast. We all want to hear it. This is the gossip that we all want to hear. That's why we do this thing,
sir.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
Will say there is a commander in the wing who actually went through the KSL training himself, mm-hmm. because he wanted to know what he's asking somebody else to do. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of support from commanders. We had a commander offer up space for us to do our KSL engagement event last year. So I feel like we're getting a lot more support than before. Yeah, very appreciative.
Yeah, and misunderstandings do happen. I mean, I remember when I was in active duty, like, I didn't know what the FRG was. You know, I was a single soldier OCONUS, and I was like, FRG, like, what do they do? That doesn't seem to apply to me, as we were kind of talking to earlier, and it was only after I became an NCO and I had to understand what the FRG was that I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like,
we don't know what the FRG is.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you, sir.
Army's version of
it. Is the Army's version, which is a family readiness.
We were using
group.
Context clues, but FRG, we're like, what is it?
The family readiness group.
I feel like you were looking at me across the table going, Tabitha's eyes are totally glazed over, right?
See, it takes a village even to produce a podcast and be aware of things. So, no, but it's an excellent point of, you know, people can misunderstand what the point of the program is.
So one thing that I noticed as well is, for some reason, and maybe it's because of the misconceptions that Tabitha was explaining, a lot of members are not bringing up issues that we can assist with, right? Like, we're here to support during a pregnancy, during the things I mentioned before, like if there's a hospitalization or if there's a death in the family or something, we're here to support the family members through that. But in order to even know about it, someone has to bring it to our attention. So because we have TRs, they're only here once a month, sometimes it doesn't get to the shirt's attention that, hey, we have a pregnancy or we have like someone going through something, you know? And so when I go to my commander's calls, I specifically ask, hey guys, tell me, bring this information to me so that I can be aware of it.
And the one thing that I will add to that, the reason I think having your support system involved and engaged in knowing that they have a resource, sometimes the member, because they work with the people in their unit, they aren't comfortable with the people they're working with knowing what they're dealing with on the personal side. So if their key support, maybe a family member, a spouse, whoever it is, knows, hey, I can go to my KSL and ask for resources without the actual member having to go to somebody in the unit, that's another way for them to get access to resources without, you know, maybe the member having to do it. And I think if they understand, hey, even if it is your key support person going to the KSL, you have the same level of privacy and there is no risk of somebody else finding out if your key support goes to the KSL to ask for resources. It's still completely private, but your family member or your key support can get resources if they are struggling on the side and they feel like they need to have access to something. They can get that without the member actively having to be the one who does it for them.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
What I was going to kind of chime in with earlier is I feel like we're definitely keying in on elements that we wish were better understood about the program. But, you know, in today's generation, what is it they say online? Too long, didn't read. You know, so if we want to bring it down to like one thing that you really wish people grasped about the KSL program, what would you identify that as?
If I had to bring it down to one thing, is that it's a resource that's available for the family that is supporting the members of the military.
Yeah, I would definitely just hope that everyone could understand the value of the program.
I would say, regardless, if you treat the 433rd as a first cousin or a distant, you know, fourth aunt of a cousin, whatever, however you treat the 433rd, just to connect. I think that's a very beneficial thing now or in the future. If we want to trickle down to what we hear our spouses say, like be ready now, well, that's something we can do. We can connect and get involved how much or how little we want to, and we can be prepared.
So I want to close on a question that I think is even more appropriate now that, you know, the person who can make it happen is in the room. You know, I wanted to ask all of you, if you could change one thing about the program, what would it be?
Hang on, we're going to commercial break. We don't need to answer. Brought to you by the 433rd.
If I could change one thing about the program, it would be the perception. And that's coming from someone who had the wrong perception of the program before I got involved. I very honestly looked at it initially and was like, oh my gosh, I don't want somebody reaching out to me, email. Like, I already get more emails than I can keep up with and phone calls. And I didn't want involvement. And now looking back, I'm pretty disappointed in myself because my first two deployments could have been a lot less stressful had I only gotten involved sooner. So if I could change one thing, it would be the perception of the program.
That's exactly what I would change too. It would be the perspective that some members have, especially seasoned members, that the program is not beneficial for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the greatest thing right now. One of the biggest struggles. And yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Well, I do always also like to close on, if there's anything that you think we should talk about that I didn't bring up, now is a good time.
Well, he's right here in the room.
Y'all kind of already answered this, but what has been your favorite thing about the KSL program?
Oh, definitely the connection with the other KSLs. I have seen this program grow, and we have so many awesome KSLs on this team. It's wonderful.
I would say as a KSL, it's been really great for me. I love helping the members of, gosh, now I can't remember if you guys said it was unit or squadron. I forgot squadron. Again. but I feel like through the things that I have learned, we've got a lot of friends. This is Military Capital USA. We have friends, active duty reserves, outside of the 433rd. And I can't tell you how often I have friends that are like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with this and I'm so frustrated. And I'm like, I have a resource. I know how to help. And just to see the wealth of resources that are available to the military members and be able to actually hand them tangible access to things that can benefit them has been really great to be able to become a resource, not only to the members of the Air Medical Evacuation Squadron, but just to the military community as a whole has been pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Family is a priority for me. I think it is for all of us. But that's been something super sweet to see how the 433rd and the key support liaisons and their spouses have jumped in and been there at the airport when somebody's come back from a deployment or shown up when a family member's house caught on fire. You know, showing up for those big moments where you do feel more like a family. I think that's been the sweetest thing I've seen.
Outstanding. No, all excellent contributions. And hopefully these personal experiences will help relay to people who might be on the fence out there across the unit that, hey, come on over, check it out. If it doesn't work out for you in your particular situation, well, you know, that's a separate conversation, but there's no reason not to try. There's no harm in giving it a shot. Get connected, and then you can always dial the connection back if in your particular circumstance, maybe it's not what you were looking for. But ladies, Colonel Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming on today, giving us some of your time, and hopefully we've taught the unit a thing or two today, this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you.
If you are interested in learning more about the KSL program or getting connected, please email 433AWKeySpouse@gmail.com. Again, that was 433AWKeySpouse@gmail.com. And for this coming UTA's announcements, please check out our monthly Alamo flyer that is sent out via email and posted on the AF Connect app. That's going to do it for this episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. I've been your host, Julian Hernandez. Thanks for spending some time with us. Until next time, take care.